we head back into the ancient past of Greece, where a sequel to the 2010 movie attempts something that hasn't been achieved successfully in American kaiju history, and that's the start of a new mega monster franchise of multiple films. Did this movie deserve another sequel, and does it match up to the original remake? Find out along with us this week. This is Kaiju vs. History, Wrath of the Titans.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your demigod, Debuter Miles, and joining me is an all-stinky Ray Fiennes, Voldemorting all over ancient Greece, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing tonight?
Bring me Potter. Harry Potter.
I gotta say, they did tone down the Voldemorty a little bit in this
one. Yeah, both in voice, and now he just turns into kind of more of a... my brain is just not working this week. The Saruman, the white. He's a little more like a foil to the Gandalf-ness.
They definitely make him feel more Greek gaudy in this one, as opposed to kind of like, oh, we got the Voldemort for you. We got the. Yeah. I feel like they got the memo.
Liam Neeson is Gandalf for sure.
Yeah, they certainly got the memo for that one, where everyone was like, okay, you're leaning too much on who he's played before. That's it. And I also have to like kind of make a disclaimer, you know, as people who listen to the show know, we do record these a little bit ahead of time. And when we last recorded, I went through a natural disaster and didn't have power/internet for a good 20 days. I watched this movie before all of that. So if I don't remember everything, I deeply apologize. But I do remember talking to Patrick before the great Helene hit.
When was Helene? That was September 26th. So
yes.
Almost
a month 3 weeks to the day.
Yeah, when we're recording this. And this episode will come out in November, Wrath of the Titans.
A
month and a half after that.
When we're recording, I have had internet for a total of like 3 days.
Can you eat up on your mic a little bit more?
Bring it
closer.
So as of recording, I probably had internet for about 3 days.
Yeah, well, you've had access on your phone, but we've not been able to record
for a while.
And the same thing, I watched this movie about a month ago, and it's so weird, you know, talking about how the first one came out in 2010. Wrath of the Titans came out pretty quickly, 2012, about, I think, just less than 2 years after the original.
Yeah, so did you know that they made a sequel to this movie? Because, like, I remember...
Yes.
I remember hearing that they were doing it, but I just thought, there's no way. Because I thought that the original Wrath of the Clash of the Titans remake, like, you know, it had its Release the Kraken meme moment, but I didn't think it did like super well. Back then, I know it did fine, but like, I was like, oh, I can't believe they're making a second one. And like Wrath of the Titans, like at the time, again, in 2012, I was a little snottier. I was like, 28. So I was like, okay, there's no way that they're making that movie and then giving it a sillier title. And like now I'm like, oh no, I love that title. Like
honestly, I think Wrath of the Titans, is a great title. And the potential sequel was going to be Revenge of the Titans, which I don't think that's as good.
I was teeing you up for what's in the title, so I know you've like leaned into it, but like, go on.
Wrath of the Titans. Yeah, it makes sense as far as the plot goes. First, they clash with them, and now they must suffer their
wrath. I don't even know if it makes sense as far as the plot goes, because I don't even know if they like clash that many titans in the first movie.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They're not counting, because we do get some cool new Greek monsters in this film, including definitely ones that don't count as titans.
Sick.
Yeah,
the Chimera.
Yeah, the Chimera, very cool. And it definitely is a kaiju feeling kind of monster. I would say honestly, one of the best parts of this movie is the Cyclops.
Cyclopses are great
as well. But then the actual climactic Titan that they go up against is the Kronos. The god of the Titans. And maybe they pulled out Kronos a bit too soon, because one of the reasons that producers gave for not continuing the series, because this movie did technically, I think, make his money back or about break even. It had a budget of $150 million, made $302 million at the box office, which was a little bit of a downgrade from the previous film, which made almost $500 million, if you can believe it, $493 million. One of the reasons that you said they didn't want to make the third one is they didn't have an idea of like what to do, because this movie kind of ends with the gods depowered, the Titans, you know, the head of the Titans, Kronos, defeated. And it's like, well, where do you go from here?
Well, and I mean, and Sam Worthington was even asked about it, and he's like, well, no, we don't need a third one. Obviously, he's gone on to like have plenty of success in his, you know, like he doesn't have to worry about eating ever because of like Avatar and stuff. And I mean, he's a solid actor. He's gotten great jobs since then. But like he's like James Cameron's going to make sure he never goes hungry.
But as a duology, these two films feel pretty good.
It does feel complete, because like after this film, like you kind of feel that you've reached the end of the Greek age, you know, and I think that makes sense.
There are more Greek monsters that they could have pulled from for a third sequel, obviously, but
I agree. But like you said, like they brought out, well, the producers thought that they brought out Kronos too early. Yes, they could have had a third film if that's how you're going to end a trilogy. But that's how they ended this film. And I kind of like it, just because like everything makes sense. And you would have had to find some other middle reason to have a middle film.
I would have loved to see a third movie where they make a giant wooden horse like mecha to go up against
it. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have a wooden horse mecha.
No, it'd be a terrible idea, but I would.
No, it would be a terrible idea. We've already had Troy. We already have the Brad Pitt, the Warner Horizon movie.
Colossus at Rhodes, you know, the giant statue would come to life. That would be cool, or something along those lines.
Well, I mean, but, again, you're talking about like Greek myth stuff, and I don't disagree with you there. But like in terms of like the story they were telling with Perseus, I think they did a pretty good job. And
yeah, they really ahead in his story a little bit for this movie and his interaction with his godly parent. I wanted to say before we get out of the title, not much in the way of wrath being translated into other languages, but it did have a fun tagline in "Feel the Wrath" and "On March 30th, go to hell," which they do.
They do in the same way that, you know, Westerners might understand it, but the underworld wasn't necessarily hell.
Yes, it is not even super coded that way. It is coded as just like a different, you know, subterranean kind of world. And to get there, they have to go through the labyrinth, which is really mixing a lot of.
Isn't Greek that Theseus?
Yes, it is a whole different level of Greek myths. And it's like the Minotaur is in there, and
which doesn't make any sense. But like,
and like also, I mean, it's like the most disappointing monster in the movie.
It's still cool.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the Medusa in the previous film, but yeah, the Minotaur in this one is even less exciting. But
I've met the actor that played him,
the Minotaur. Who's
Spencer
that?
Wilding. So I only know this because my fiance was his bartender, but he is on Comic Cons and stuff. He was the suit actor for Darth Vader in Rogue One.
Yes. He's a British stunt performer.
Absolute sweetheart. Phenomenal, like as far as my personal experience with him, very, very, very nice person. But he was the suit actor for Darth Vader in Rogue One.
He's done a lot of cool science fiction stuff, from Doctor Who to Guardians of the Galaxy. Just looking up his IMDb is a lot of very interesting roles. It is so funny that, like I said, we we watched this movie about a month ago, and I did all the research for this film also a month ago, but I did look that up, but I forgot all about him. But like the other two Clash of the Titans movies, this movie also features a former Bond girl. In Ursula Andress was a goddess in the 1981 film. Clash had Gemma Arterton from Quantum of Solace. In this movie, has Rosamund Pike as one of the kind of crew, I guess, of the film.
What?
She was Rosamund Pike? Die Another Day.
She plays Andromeda. She's not a crew member.
Well, I mean, she's a member of Perseus's like group.
Yes, but like she takes place. Alexa Davros couldn't do it from allegedly due to a scheduling conflict, although she had nothing going on at the time.
And also they kill off Perseus's wife, who didn't come back for the sequel.
Yeah, that was also weird. Yeah. Like, oh, the immortal Io. Yeah, she's gone. It is what it is. Yeah. So Rosalind Pike, who's had a tremendous like career in and of herself. But yeah, she did start off doing Die Another Day, and then like kind of like parroting that when she's in a Johnny English series, a sequel.
You know, I haven't seen that.
Oh man, I think you would like it. That seems like something you would very much enjoy. I honestly really enjoyed, despite the fact that I was a little like, I wish they hadn't replaced Andromeda. I think that Sam Worthington and Rosamund Pike have phenomenal chemistry.
Yeah, and it's a very cool take on Queen Andromeda. And I also like Agenor in the film, played by Toby Kebbell. He's a great actor. I've seen him in what he's done. He did Rock and Roll with...
he's Dr. Doom.
In
Josh Trank's Fantastic Four. Oh,
no, thank you. That is the one movie I'm just like, oh boy, I watched that one time. And he's
also Kaiju royalty.
Right, because he was in very, very small part in Kong Skull Island.
As the motion capture for Kong?
No, he's...
No, he's an actor in it, but he does the motion capture for King Kong in that movie. Oh,
right. I do think I have seen some of the behind the scenes. I wonder what he was cast as first in that movie, but he does.
I feel like he was cast as like what's his name, like Jack, is it someone like
Jack Chapman? Yeah.
So I feel like he was cast as that. He had to have been cast as that first, and I was like, oh yeah, I can do like, you know,
I got monkey movements, man.
I got monkey movements, man.
Let me show you.
Have you not seen Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
Well, I was about to say he's in that movie, and I'm wondering if, because Andy Serkis helped with Kong Skull Islands,
like production wise, or
I think so. Maybe I'm thinking of a later legendary.
Because I love Skull. I mean, spoiler warning for like future kaiju conversations. I love the legendary Kong, like very much.
Yeah, and that movie is very good. I can't wait to talk about it. No, obviously Andy Serkis did the motion capture specifically for Peter Jackson's King Kong. I think he helped produce some of the later legendary Kong films, but I don't think he stepped back into mocap for Kong in any of them. But gotcha. I think he was in some form behind the scenes on some of those movies. Maybe for King of the Monsters.
Oh, but we'll forever be known as Dr. Doom.
I really like him.
I actually like that movie. So.
Well, he's the son of Neptune, who is in the first movie and is in this movie. Just very small role.
He's the son of Poseidon.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, that's the the Roman version Neptune. But I'm getting like, all my like, wait a minute, mythology wait a mixed minute. Up. Yes, Poseidon. And gets his staff or his trident, and that is like kind of the MacGuffin of this film, as they're trying to combine the various weapons of the gods and must seek out Bill Nighy as Hephaestus, who's like maybe honestly, the who best
performer. He's phenomenal in this movie.
Forgiven.
I don't know about that. Bill Nighy is a phenomenal actor.
He shows up like 40 minutes into the film, and then it's just like he lights up the screen.
But no, this performance is incredible.
It's so good. Yeah, and that's one of the fun things about this movie. It has so many great British actors really
I'm not going to lie. Roles. I think this movie is, and this isn't just even like a part of my personal, I think this movie is far and away a better movie than Clash of the Titans.
It's so hard because the 2010 remake, I love the human crew that go with Perseus. I love those characters.
I love Nicholas Hoult. I love
and I didn't like the gods in that movie, but I do like the gods in this movie.
No, because it feels that they actually like thought about the Greek gods a little bit. So like when Ares is there and Poseidon's there, and I think is Apollo there for a second?
Yes, and then we have a new kind of villain in the form of Ares. Yeah, in this film, and Hades has a little bit of a redemption arc as well, which is fun.
It's honestly it's well done. I think Liam Neeson as Zeus is so much better in this one. He's given more to do for sure.
Well, they take the gods out of the crazy, you know, super psychedelic armor that they had in the first movie, and they're more in like wandering.
They feel more like the ding dongs in the robes, and honestly, that plays better.
Yes, yeah. To make them extremely highly powerful kind of humanoids and bring them down to earth, because you know Hades went down without a very cool fight in the first film. And in this
it's very Voldemort quoted. Like, oh, you beat the Kraken. Oh, I guess I lost.
Like, yeah, this one stupid. Feels like I said, they're more like Gandalf and Saruman. They're like physical beings and they have this like massive battle scene, you know, where they're going off and killing the spawn of Kronos in like one final battle together. It's a very cool ending. And I already mentioned how I think my favorite part of the movie was those Cyclops, but
it's a super fun sequence because like, I mean, historically, like the Cyclops stories are always well done. Like mm-hmm. It's a cool story to like see play out. And they do a phenomenal job of that in this movie.
I think just the scaling of them is really well, because they take, it takes place in a forest setting where they're just like towering among the treetops, and there's just a lot of cool set pieces for those fights. And it's also multiple Cyclops that are going after multiple members of Perseus's crew and just doing a whole bunch of different stuff. I really like that part, but the main monster, the Kraken of this film, is the Kaiju Titan Kronos, much larger, I would say, than the Kraken.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly kaiju sized, and again, it's tougher to like, I mean, this is why this is something that would be kaiju adjacent, because like, one, while the Chimera does have a cool scene, it's these aren't kaiju, you know. Even Kronos is, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like it's hard to determine, because like, oh, this is a Titan, this is like, you know, the progenitor of a god, so it's not really a kaiju in the classical sense. But it does have a name, special abilities, all that.
Yeah, fun stuff. I would say this is, I mean, even more so than.
I mean, I would say King Caesar is a kaiju. You know, I can't say that he's a kaiju and that Kronos isn't.
They're both, man. It's cool. You can say they're kaiju.
I know, but it's weird because it's a different reading of this character. Like, it's not like it's a guardian creature. It's not like it's something you call upon. It's like, no, this is an actual deity.
Yes. So whereas the first one was based more on Behemoth or some other kind of creatures, because like, you know, Leviathan. Kraken is not in Greek mythology. Kronos obviously is in Greek mythology, but they were described as huge, and even in classical depictions of the quote unquote Titans, they were giant sized and could just eat men whole or eat like, I guess what we would think of the gods, like Zeus whole. So in that way, I kind of like it. Kronos in this one is kind of reborn of the underworld, and it gives him basically turns him into like a lava version of himself. And part of his powers is he spits out these evil minions, which is a lot of fun, because you have Olaf Queen, Rosamund Pike's Andromeda, you know, kind of holding the line, and then the gods get involved. It's a great third act kind of final battle.
I mean, I'm not lying. I think this movie is so much more satisfying than the first one. Maybe part of it is that it's not a remake and it's kind of doing its own thing. So it's playing with the Greek myths as it wants. And honestly, that is way more entertaining. I think they do a much better job with material, even though they bastardize like other myths, like the Minotaur, but they do it with gusto. I mean, they really do. I think all of that is very well done.
I would have really loved to have seen the labyrinth get its due, because it felt like Legends of the Hidden Temple kind of set. You know, they're just like going around these like corridors, these ever shifting corridors. And I would have loved to have seen the Minotaur be a large creature. It's kind of like, I don't know, 8 foot, 9 foot. Mm-hmm. It's not very big. Right. So as soon as this first film, Clash of the Titans, came out, they got the director and brought the writers back on board within a few months, I think, of the movie leaving theaters, and started in on the writing process for this film. And filming began in about 1 year after the first movie came out in 2011. And it also had a 3D release, which was really, I feel like, in 2012 on the way out. I feel like there was a big boom in like 2007, 2008. And 2012 is when people were like, I don't want to pay more to wear these glasses for an entire film, you know, when it doesn't add like a ton of stuff. And it boggles my mind that today, 2024, there are still 3D showings of like a ton of movies, you know.
Oh, there was, gosh, there was one recently
I've never been like, I want to see this in 3D over
a I don't hate a 3D showing. I do hate that if it's in a time slot that I would rather watch the 2D showing in.
Yes, that's the thing. I've never been like, this is a movie to finally see in 3D. But yeah, this movie didn't do well as the original. And maybe for a number of reasons, but we talked about how, I mean, 2008 was Iron Man, and 2012, a few months after this movie came out, was Avengers, you know? So it's just, right. It's not going to do well for this. And then a few months before was John Carter, which was like one of Disney's biggest bombs of all time.
Don't get me started on John Carter. Like, that thing was predicted to be a bomb like 3 years before that movie ever came out. Also, that movie is awesome.
I don't care
what anyone says. John Carter is great.
John Carter technically has a better Rotten Tomato score than Wrath of the Titans, Miles. So you are correct, at least as far as fans go in that respect. But
well, I have a caveat with that as well, but like I love John Carter. I think the movie's awesome. I saw that in theaters, and I do not regret that one bit.
Yeah, you know, I still haven't seen it, but I'm such a huge fan of the kind of sword and sorcery stuff. Yeah, those kind of Tarzan style things. I it's on my list.
But it's really good. I mean, does it follow the Burrow stuff super? Probably not. I'm not as well versed in the Princess of Mars / John Carter like short story stuff, but it's a really fun movie.
Yes,
that's an aside, but we gotta talk about this one.
Well, John Carter got a 52% from critics, and Wrath of the Titan a 27%.
That is insane to me. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I don't understand how anyone can watch this movie and not be the slightest bit entertained.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we're spoiling maybe our reviews a little bit, but I do very much wish we had gotten Revenge of the Titans, the third potential film.
If they had come up with a good idea, then yes. But I'm with Sam Worthington. As it is, it's perfectly fine. But like, unless they had a killer idea, then I'm fine with nothing.
Well, I think the killer idea would have been the Avengers of the Greek god world, and bring in your Theseus, bring in your, you know, other kind of characters,
Hercules, and
well, you could do a Hercules. Yeah, you could do a whole bunch of them. And have,
I don't know. I feel it's easy. I don't know. I'm fine leaving it alone. I really am.
They have to take on some other god, obviously. Maybe Ares, is
Osiris,
back,
or from the Egyptian gods.
Yeah, or something like that. And they have, that movie is the one that would have to have a kaiju battle. So like a giant titan versus titan kind of thing. But yeah, we're, you know, like I said, the majority of audience slash reviewers were pretty mid on this film. Roger Ebert said, quote, maybe it was the three exploding mountains too many, or dozen surplus fireballs, or too much noise, rather than Titans relentlessly wore me down with special effects so overscale compared to the characters in the film that at times it was the only thing to do was to grin. And I mean, it's not a bad review, but two out of four stars. It is one of those things where you go to this, and if you saw it in 3D, you went to it specifically because of it was a CGI action-packed, you know, film. Like I said, I kind of wish I had seen this in theater. This is not one that is going to, I think, have... Maybe they have replayed it since then, but one of my favorite things is revisiting movies in the theater that I really have only seen that one time or I never saw at all. Fifth Element is coming back for like a 25th anniversary in theaters next month.
I'm a fan of the repertory of viewing. I mean, I've gone and seen like, you know, Jaws on the 40th anniversary or 45th, whatever. Last year, we went and saw like The Lost Boys during the Halloween season, and like watching it on the big screen. And my fiance had never seen it before.
Oh,
I mean, an absolute treat. Like, she loved it.
But that's
like,
that's actually the one movie I would want to see in 3D is they just re-released Coraline in.
Oh, yeah. So I did see it in theaters back in the day, but like seeing some of these movies on the big screen is an absolute must. And like, it's been enough time for Coraline specifically, but like, honestly, I love that, like, during the Fathom events and AMC, like, do these repertory viewings. Like, you can watch Jaws or The Birds or, you know, Studio Ghibli almost once a quarter, or Coraline, as they're doing right now. Nightmare for Christmas is in theaters again. And, like, absolutely, see these movies in theaters. They're a blast. They're classics for a reason. And, like, seeing them on the biggest screen possible is like, the only way to view most of these movies. Or any movie, really. Except for last week's.
Well, I will say, I feel like if this one was re-released in theater, I think that's the place to see it. It is still a good film.
I wish I had.
But it is... definitely one. I mean, and the remake of Clash of the Titans that deserves to be seen on the big screen. And yeah, fun film. I'm happy that we got to add these to the kaiju list, because while they're not really focused on the kaiju element, there's some great giant monster fights.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So just okay, well, let's get into our ratings. Like, what did you think about this one? Just enjoy, man.
Yeah. I think this movie is a very fun time, maybe a little less stylistically sound than the first film, but they kind of were working from that original script and just kind of updating it. So they couldn't really stray too far from that, but it fixes a very large problem I had with the first film, which is the gods being kind of lame. And like I said, this movie just turns them into wizards, but it's not a bad thing. There's still some missed opportunities with this film, but I would say at the very least equally entertained, if not more so. I feel like if I wanted to watch them, I would probably want to watch them both, you know, like back to back, and, you know, really get that compact experience. So I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 for personal enjoyment. What about you, Miles?
I had an absolute blast with this movie. Like, everything that I had a problem with in the first film has largely been answered. The gods were absolutely a problem in the first one. Hades and his Voldemort-ness was a problem. He's still a scheming, you know, kind of antagonist.
No, Ray Fiennes is a much better in this movie.
They give him more to do. I legit think that, like, everyone received a memo. It was like, hey, stop being Voldemort. But honestly, Liam Neeson's given more to do. The story itself is just, it's a better produced story. Yes, it bastardizes several Greek tales, but it does so in a very entertaining manner. And frankly, I love Sam Worthington in this movie. I think he's great. I think he is. I mean, I thought he was great in the last one too. Mm-hmm. Like, to be sure. But like, I think he's much better in this one. I think he's given much more to do, especially with his like son, which we didn't touch a whole lot on.
Yeah, but he's kind of a non-factor in the movie, but yes.
He's a non-factor in terms of, like, a character, but he's a massive factor in terms of, like, plot.
Yes.
Yeah, and
he's a big part of Perseus's personal journey, which went from son avenging father to father trying to protect the world for his son.
And as someone who's always enjoyed Greek myths and, you know, in my head, always viewed them as these big epic adventures, this gave me the experience that I really wanted from the first one, because it wasn't remaking anything in particular. Yes, it was like taking other stuff, but like this movie is a blast. The Chimera, awesome design. The Cyclops, very cool design. Like all the large creatures, even Cronus, even though it's, you know, big fire monster, whatever, still very cool. Very cool looking. I had a great time with this movie from like top to bottom. I thought the chemistry between Andromeda and Perseus was so good that you forget about all of the IO stuff from the first movie. Yeah. I mean, everything about this movie like really works for me. And on an entertaining scale, like I could not have been more pleased. I was so shocked by how much I enjoyed this movie. In terms of personal enjoyment, I'm going to go for a 9 out of 10. I had an absolute blast. I think this movie's fantastic. It's such a great viewing experience.
It is a lot of fun. Like I said, there are parts of it I like a lot more than the first movie, and then the parts of the first movie that I think are just a little more classic.
I get it.
But if you're like dividing like character for character, action for action scene, I think the second one, it's less beholden to that original grip.
And that's what sets it free. It's such a much more like fun experience.
Speaking of that, the technical aspect, I do think the writing and the acting are better in this movie. Maybe some of the special effects suffer a little bit by comparison.
Yeah, but I wouldn't disagree with you there.
Like I said, I wasn't a fan of the Medusa in the previous one because the stop motion Medusa was so much better. But the Minotaur feels like, one, an afterthought in the film. Two, just a big letdown as far as effects goes. And then the same goes for Ares, you know? He's just kind of a British guy. I mean, I know they're all British guys, but I guess he's... The actor Edgar Ramirez is not British. He's a Venezuelan. But, you know, he just looks kind of like a guy in armor. And while he's not Bond royalty, he was in a Bourne Ultimatum film, the actor.
He was.
But yeah, I feel, you know... The Titan, Cronos, and the Cyclops, that CGI was amazing. I thought it was great. Maybe even outstripped a little bit by the Kraken in the first film, but still really cool looking. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 for its technical aspects. What about you, Miles?
You know, I'm honestly right there with you. I do think that some of the special effects do suffer a little bit. I think that Ares is just a sore thumb in this movie. It's not that the actor is doing a poor job. I just think that they kind of treated Ares like the Hades of the last film, where it's like, we have to have someone be the antagonist, but they didn't give him any pathos. They didn't give him a good reason. I know he's the god of war, but like, do something interesting with the god of war. And they failed to do that. So I think there is a script problem there. I think the character writing is better, but I think the scripting is probably on par with the last one. I do think that the special effects are very good. And I enjoy the Cronos stuff. I think Hades or the underworld itself is a little underdeveloped.
Yeah, there's so chains, there's rocks.
Yeah, in terms of imagination, this does get a lot of like points knocked. I think the acting is fantastic. I think the chemistry the actors have is fantastic. I think the character writing is very good, which in a lot of the last film, I would say a lot of the character writing wasn't. Ares notwithstanding, I think, you know, you have the purposeful choice to make Hephaestus this odd character and make him so entertaining to watch. You can't like get away from that. So like, I do think this movie has massive technical problems, but I think it has enough rising it like kind of on the same level. I'm giving it a strong 7 because I do agree with you, but yeah. I do think that there are equally as many good things as bad, but it's just, it's good, not great in terms of its technical aspect.
And I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 for its importance as well in kaiju kind of cinema. I think, like I said, it was pretty important for this to be a sequel to an American-made kaiju film. And to be honest, when it came out, I was surprised. I was like, the first one did that well that they're like,
again, I did not realize it had a sequel because I was like, the first one did it good? Like, what?
Well, when, you know, we talked about it only like a month or so ago, but I think I did see the first one in theaters, but didn't feel invested to see the second one. Forget now that I'm thinking about it. But this feels like, or Clash of the Titans feels like one I would have wanted to see in theaters. But I definitely didn't see this one until about a month ago. never watched Wrath of the Titans. And yeah, like I said, that's why maybe you should give some of these forgotten kaiju films a little bit of a second chance. It had, you know, the first one maybe was maybe a little bit more kaiju adjacent than this one, because it had the city destruction sequence of the Kraken really going to town on an ancient Greek civilization. But this one probably, you know, as far as actual plot goes, maybe a little bit better. I like the gathering up of the tools to stop the Titan. And yeah, maybe this one's a little less focused than the first, but I don't know. Kaiju movies do really want to focus on those monsters first, and then the kind of plot elements and some of the familial, like, you know, Perseus being half brother of Ares, things just didn't, it felt a little bit flat.
Mm-hmm.
As a kaiju movie, I think it's pretty good though. We give it a 7 out of 10. What about you, Miles?
You know me, I've always struggled with the Greek myth stuff and being kaiju. Do I think this is somewhat informed by some kaiju movies? Yes. Do I think it offers a lot to kaiju cinema? Not really. Do I think people who enjoy kaiju films would enjoy this? Absolutely. So I, in that respect, I'm kind of with you. When I'm weighing all of these things, you know, seeing the creature, seeing the way they do the Chimera, seeing the way they do the Cyclops, seeing the depiction of Kronos, mm-hmm. I think, especially with the special effects of the time in that aspect. Yeah, I do think it's worth watching. I was a little hesitant about the first one. I wasn't a massive fan of the first. I think the second one's fantastic. And so, like, while I want to push that, that's why I weighed my personal score much higher, because I'm with you. I'm on a 7 out of 10 here. In terms of its actual importance, it's fine. I'm weighing it higher because I think it is a solid film, but I'm more erring on like, yeah, you should check this out if you like giant creatures and great special effects, like rendering and everything, because that's awesome. So yeah, it's a 7 out of 10 for me in this aspect, but with the asterisk that this is a super, super fun movie.
Yeah, that'll put us kind of right in the middle. I think it ends up your score being a softer 8. And me a little bit of a harder 7, mm-hmm. and splitting it down the middle, that's going to give us our podcast final of a 7 out of 10, just right there in the middle as well, meeting up, which is what we ended up on for Clash of the Titans. I was a little kinder to that movie. You were a
I was not. Harsher. I know that much. I'm looking at the score, but like the same thing happened. Like I gave it 7.75 and this one's like 9.77. So like in a respect, it's kind of, it balanced out.
Yeah. I do think they're both worth watching, and a 7 out of 10 is a very good kind of on our rating scale. So I think listeners should as well, if they haven't seen it, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. I definitely think that people should seek this one out.
And Clash of the Titans. Say it, Miles. Say it. I'm just kidding.
I mean, if you want to know what's going on in the second one, I guess you have to see the first.
No, like, you don't need to see the first one, to be honest. Know, they're just both big popcorn movies.
They are.
They're exactly what you expect. I mean,
the first one's at least worth watching to even if it's not as commanding as you want to be, to see Liam Neeson go release the Kraken. You know?
That's worth the
you get that.
Price of buying a ticket.
I didn't say that. I didn't
buy like I said, I think if either of them are ever re-released in theaters, it'd probably be a fun movie-going experience.
Sure.
Again, or for the first time. But, yeah, you can find these. Are they on Amazon Prime? I think I watched it on
Prime. I watched mine on Hulu.
Yeah, it's on one of those services, and
it is certainly streaming at the moment.
Oh, I might have rented it actually on Prime, but that is, I forget.
It's on Hulu right now. Don't be a chump.
7 out of 10 for Wrath of the Titan. Miles, that's going to do it for us. Where can folks find us if they want to talk Titan with us?
Well, so if you want to actually live action talk Titan to us or talk Kaiju to us, you can join the Cosmic Crit Discord and join the Kaiju vs. History channel and talk to Patrick and I in real time, specifically during the week when we are very bored at work. Otherwise, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can tweet to us at kaijuversushistory. Visit our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show. Comment, share with your friends, and let us know what you think. And please check out our Letterboxd account, Kaiju vs. History, and see all our reviews and our list of films, which Patrick has surely updated by now. Patrick,
hopefully,
what are we doing next week?
Thank you, Miles. Thank you, listeners. We're going to catch you next time when we return. Nope, I'm reading the wrong. I opened up notes. we're going to catch you next time when we finally continue on in the Evangelion Rebuild series. That's right. It's the third film. Ooh. Another middle chapter in what seems to be pointing to Hideaki Anno suffering from major burnout that will perhaps only be solved by taking time off to direct his own Godzilla film down the line. Will this time-skipping alternate future film hold up to fan expectations and scrutiny? You can find out along with us in our episode of History versus Evangelion 3.0 You Cannot Redo. Bum, 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 bum.